It's my pleasure to introduce Rav Yosef Tzvi Rimon. Rav Rimon is the Rav of Alon Shvut South. He's a faculty member of Yeshivat Har Etzion and Midrashat Migdal Oz. In addition to his teaching, Rav Rimon writes extensively on Talmudic and halachic issues. Rav Rimon is involved, and involved is a mild word for it, with a wide range of educational and social initiatives that are attempting to help the Jewish people, especially after the Hitnatkut, the disengagement of 2005. He's heavily involved with a project known as Job Katif. You will see literature to that effect, which is trying to help those who were expelled to gain their feet, both financially, emotionally, in terms of jobs, and so on. And he's really helping thousands of individuals. Please welcome Rav Yosef Tzvi Rimon.
Shalom uvracha. I'm glad to be here with you. And glad to see here Mr. Kurt Rothschild, that all the time helps Am Yisrael everywhere. I'm going to speak on something that it's connection between halacha and life and emunah in Eretz Yisrael, and I'm going to speak about questions that I was asked 2 years ago. It's now exactly 2 years to the Gaza war. Oferet Yetzuka. You need a? Yeah, okay. Oh, you are waiting for me. No, here. On the Gaza war, those are my twins. I left in Israel 8 of my children now, my wife. Oh, to there? No, it's me, but it's okay. It's okay, afterwards I just put it, I'll go. Wonderful, this is wonderful. Okay, this is wonderful. Oh, they want to see the children. All the time I get questions from a lot of people in Eretz Israel and also from rabbis in communities in the world. But 2 years ago, when war started, I got a lot of questions from soldiers in the war. After 2 days that I answered those questions, I discovered that they were cold. The army gives uniform. The army gives coats. But it's the first time that a war started in winter. All wars, Sheshet Hayamim, Yom Kippur, started in summer. Sometimes it went into winter. But this is the first war who started in winter. And, you know, you can have a coat, but you can have also a thermal shirt that it's something else, but it's very expensive. It's very warm. You can have woolen gloves that are good. The army gives woolen gloves, but you can have button gloves that they cost maybe 10 times more, but they are special. And I wanted, I was in my house in Alon Shvut, in the yeshiva, right, answering those questions. I wanted to help them. And I didn't know what to do. And I got a telephone from someone in Englewood, Rav Zev Reichman, that he phoned me and asked me, what can we do for the soldiers in the war? I said, oh, you want to help? I want to buy them 3,000 of those things. So he said, he phoned me after a few hours. He said, okay, I'm coming to Israel tomorrow. I'll bring the money and you'll buy those things. And Baruch Hashem, we bought it, we went, I took him with me on the border of Gaza. I was just 2 days with the soldiers. And above all other questions that I got, on those 2 days, all the time, religious and non-religious soldiers came to ask questions. And to see What amazing spirits, amazing soldiers we have. It was unbelievable, and I want to share you those things together now. Wednesday, a soldier asked me, he's on the border, on Gaza, on the border, and every few hours they take soldiers from the border and put them in Gaza. And he asks me, what will happen if on Shabbos they'll ask him to go in the war? What was his question? It's not the end. If it's Shabbos, so, okay, up to you now. What do you guess? What was the question of this soldier? If on Shabbos he'll have to go to the war, so... What do you say? Maybe if he can come can back up, afterwards. To come back is a good question. Although he knew that if he goes to war, he knows. He doesn't know if it's 10 days, 2 weeks, but he won't come back. It's not just a small thing that you go there and back. Other suggestion? What was his question? Can he drive there? So to drive, it's also a question, but he knows it's pikuach nefesh, it's wartime. He understands he has to drive, and actually he doesn't drive alone. He's on the border with all the soldiers. They'll take him in a big car, in a jeep, or you know what is jeep, or something like this. They'll take him. So this wasn't his question. Wow, this was his question. Can he take a tefillin with him? Should understand, they are on the border now, wartime, life and death are above him, chayim v'mavet, and what bothers him now, can he take the tefillin with him on Shabbos? Because on Shabbos, he won't use them. He'll use them on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Can he take the tefillin with him on Shabbos? Okay, what do you say? What we should tell him? Yes. Everyone agrees?
Yes.
Tell me what the problems that can be. Now I want not from the heart. I want a halachical answer. Hotza'a mukze, hotza'a carrying, mukze. Hachana mikodesh lechol. You know, sometimes you feel what you want to do, but halachical person has to. I wrote a few books on halacha from the sources till halacha lemaase. Wrote one on Shemitah, on Shabbos. I wrote one, I'm writing now another one, and Bezrat Hashem, I hope that I could do it. I'm trying to do it very user friendly, that everyone can understand, not just the bottom line, but the sources, the reasons. I want to do it in Hebrew and in English. Some of them were published in English also. This is Birkat Hamazon is Mirot Shabbat, with all the rules of Birkat Hamazon, also from the sources, Til Halacha Lemaase, and with Zmirot Shabbat, with introduction to each Zmirah, to understand why we sing this Zmirah, with riddles for the children, and answer for the riddles. This is in English. But this I wrote for the army soldiers, and this is quite new, a few months ago. That goes also from the sources, Til Halacha Lemaase, and when you answer, it's not enough to feel what you want to do. You have to check. If it's okay according to halacha, okay, but if not, what can we do? So, let's try to answer this question together. Mukze is the first issue. We know that tefillin are mukze, but are they really mukze? The Gemara in Menachot Lamed Vav says that you don't put tefillin on Shabbos. Rabbi Akiva says, no tefillin on Shabbos. Tefillin are ot. Shabbat is ot. I don't know if to say it in English. Tefillin are os. Ois. Shabbat is ois. And you can't put two signs together. You don't put two signs together. So, we don't put tefillin on Shabbos. The question is, we don't put tefillin on Shabbos. But may we put tefillin on Shabbos? If we may put, so it won't be mukze. If we mustn't put, it will be kli shemelachto leisur. It will be mukze that makes isur that you can't do on Shabbos. So the Tosfot in Beitzad of Tetvav says what you said, that you may put tefillin on Shabbos. But the Bet Yosef in Orach Chaim, Siman Lamed Vav, says, Siman Lamed Aleph, wrong, says that you mustn't put tefillin on Shabbos. He says, according to the Midrash, he says that to put tefillin on Shabbos, you insult Shabbos. As if Shabbos is not enough, you need another sign. And according to this, Shulchan Aruch in Orach Chaim Siman Lamed Aleph, his poisek says that tefillin are mukteh on Shabbos. But the Rama, Rabbi Moshe Iserlish, the Ashkenazi poisek on the Shulchan Aruch, thinks that tefillin are not mukteh on Shabbos, and he repeats it in Orach Chaim Siman Shin Chet, that tefillin are not mukteh on Shabbos. The Mishne Bure, Chafetz Chaim, says in the bottom line, halacha lemaaseh, that normally don't touch tefillin on Shabbos. Behave as if they are mukze. But if the tefillin are on the floor, and it's not nice to they are there, you want to pick them, you may rely on the Rama and pick them. Also, if you are afraid that they will be stolen, you may pick them. We want to say that? Yes, but tefillin, if they are mukze, it's different. Sifrei Kodesh are not mukze. It's the same. But tefillin, you have from one point mukze, from the other point it's bizayon. It's not nice to the others, and you have to know what is more important. No, look, there is an option to put if you put not for mitzvah. If you are on the way, you want to put Mishaya Baderech, there are things to put it, but maybe not for mukze, to mitzvah, or maybe according to a few systems, also if you mean to mitzvah, you may put it. Okay, in the bottom line about mukze, what do you say for this soldier? If we won't let him, he won't be able to put tefillin all the week. So it's good enough reason for mukze, right? You agree? Okay. I think also for Sephardis I would say the same. Doesn't matter. He was Ashkenazi, but I don't think it matters in this case, because we can rely on the Rama in this case. Yes.
Not everyone. Everyone
agrees? Yes. No. Tzitzit is machloket how to do, but tefillin, yes. If someone doesn't put tefillin every day, if he's in the army, in a war, he doesn't need to put if he has no tefillin. But of course, if he puts, he does mitzvah, and he wants to put. In wartime, if you would ask halachikud if he has to put, we'll tell him, no, you don't need, because you have no tefillin, you are anus. I understand what you say, but according to most poskim, there is a mitzvah every day, and the Gemara says that Mishlo meniach tefillin, poshe Yisrael begufan, it's machloket if it's every day. Okay, but it doesn't matter here, because if you are looking according to halachas, so in the army, if he has no tefillin, he's anus, he doesn't need. But this is what we are looking now. Okay. So let's continue, and I'll answer also this. Just hachana mikodesh lechol, preparing from Shabbos to Sunday. In the meantime, I'll ask also your question. Usually, normally, we mustn't prepare from Shabbos to the middle of the week. But there are special rules when you may prepare from Shabbos to the middle of the week. The one who wrote it was Chayei Adam. You heard about Chayei Adam. Chayei Adam is a book that was written 150 years ago by Rabbi Avraham Danzig. And Chayei Adam is like Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. It's a short book, but it's a very good book. He said on himself that, you know, from the Shulchan Aruch, someone made Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. And there are a lot of books that people afterwards made shorten. He said from his book, no one will make shortened book afterwards. Why? What will be the name of the book? Kitzur Chayei Adam. Chayei Adam is life of a person. Yes? Shortened of a life of a person. No one will make a book Kitzur Chayei Adam. So the Chayei Adam, in his book, Klal Kuf Nun Gimel, Seif Vav, says according to Gemara in Beitzad of Mem and Rashi, that if you are doing something on Shabbos, that is very easy. It's not something that takes you big effort. And also, it's not something that people look at you and say, oh, he's preparing them for Sunday. Let's say you took a challah from the freezer for lechem mishne. And now you want to put it back. If you think deeply, why do you put it back in the freezer? You put it because you want it for Sunday. But when you take out and put it, people don't think you are preparing now for Sunday. You take it out, you are putting it back in. It's not tircha, and because of this you may do it. Also in our case, he takes all his luggage and he takes the tefillin together. It doesn't seem as if he's preparing now for Sunday, and it's also no tircha. And also, I think it's not a chana mikodesh lechol, it's a chana mikodesh lekodesh, because for him to have the tefillin with him, it helps him. He feels better. He's a better soldier. Yes. If we say that you mustn't put tefillin on Shabbos, so Beit Yosef thinks it's in Melacha, and he says it in Beit Yosef Or HaChaim Siman Lamed Alef. The Melacha is the Isur is also Isur Deoraisa, also Isur De Rabbanan. Let's say a measure, something that you measure. To measure something, it's not Deoraita. Chachamim told you mustn't measure, because if you measure, you start writing. But this thing is mukse on Shabbos. It's klishe melachto le'isur, although it's not a real melacha. This is melachto le'isur. This is what we are posking. This is what it should. Not exactly. Because tzorech gufo and tzorech mekomo is if you have to take something to use a place. This is tzorech mekomo, and you don't need to use. Tzorech gufo is to do a hater with this thing now. You take a pen. Okay, so I won't deal with it now, because this is another deal, but if you want, I'm ready to deal with it for a long time. Okay, last thing is carrying. You mustn't carry without an eruv. You need an eruv to carry. The Arabs in Gaza didn't make us eruv. No eruv there. And this is another problem. It's very not simple. But the Chafetz Chaim wrote a book for the army soldiers. How did he write a book for the army soldiers if he passed away in Tafresh Tzadi Gimel before the foundation of Medinat Israel? He wrote it for Jews in the Russian soldiers. And the Chafetz Chaim in his book, Machane Israel, Perek Lamed Aleph, says that if a soldier has any case to carry something for the war, and there is something very important for him, let's say all his money, if he leaves it, he will lose it. So in that case, he can put the money with him and take all together. Not everyone agreed with Chafetz Chaim in this thing. It's called Ribui B'Shiurin De'Otza'ah. But in the bottom line, I told the soldiers that he can take the feeling with him because of all those three issues that I told you just now. I just want to tell you that normally when you give answer, you have time. You can think 5 minutes, 10 minutes, few hours. When I gave answers in the war time, I felt that I'm under fire. He phones me, this soldier, and tells me, he asked me the question, so I start asking him. He says, Rabbi, I got 2 minutes to phone, one for my mother, one for you. I have no time. You have to say yes or no. So you have to think all those things. And it's very complicated to be in war time and to answer those questions. It's big responsibility. And Baruch Hashem, we have Siyata Dishmaya to answer. An officer phoned me and told me he's preparing the soldiers to be careful of mines. You know what are mines? Mokshim. Tzatzot. Bombs, mines. And he's doing it with PowerPoint. You know what is PowerPoint? Like this. With a computer. And he asked me, may he do it on Shabbos? Because all the time he's preparing soldiers. May he continue on Shabbos? I asked him, tell me, if you do it with our PowerPoint, it's the same with pages. He said, oh, I can do it with pages also. So I told him, It's the same, he says, almost. Now, I know that he phoned me. Why would he phone me in this PowerPoint? It means it's not exactly the same. It's exactly the same. I said, almost, but it's better PowerPoint. He said, yes. I told him, do it PowerPoint. First of all, I can tell you that this is a new question. Yom Kippur war, Sheshet Hayamim. No one asked about PowerPoint in the war. 3 days afterwards, the army called me and told me, amazing thing. 150 soldiers went into an empty school in Gaza to sleep at night. In the middle of the night, one of them woke up and went to the bathroom and he saw a string. And according to what he learned in the PowerPoint, he understood that maybe it's connected to a bomb. He told his officers, they took everyone out and they checked it and they saw it's connected to 200 kilograms of enormous bomb. Chas v'chalila, if this would bomb, all the building would crash. They were so excited, they sent me afterwards 2 minutes to show me this string. I don't know if you want to see it. You want to see it or? Because I have other things. It interests you? Okay. This string is out of school. Here you can see now, you can see the school far away. They put the string in through a zoo that all the animals together and the soldiers, Chas v'chalia, would bomb together. He sees that all around school, everything is full with bombs. And this is the string you see here. You hear the animals of the zoo there. The zoo is is connected to the school. You see the school? And it goes here inside the school. They opened the wall that you can see. Yeah, this is the open. From there, they put a string into the school. for me to see. I'll change your picture. This will be more interesting.
That was interesting.
Those are my yes. That he's
electricity is the Rabbanan.
Okay, I won't deal with it now. I won't deal with it now because this is something else. I can speak to you long enough about it. But no, Rav Goren didn't say it like this. But I can't come in now because there are people that won't understand what we are speaking. So I won't go into this now. It's a big issue to say, but I know also all those things about electricity. When I answer, of course, I think about all those things. But it's not just that nothing, that you can't, that you don't need other rules with this. I was in Gaza, on the border, and a soldier comes out from Gaza to the border. He looks crashed, you know, as if he went out of a sardine can. You know, all... I speak to him, I ask him, what's happened? So he said, nothing. I just was a week and a half in the tank, closed. And now I got a few hours out and I'm going back. And he says, Rabbi, I have a question. Important question that I need answer before I'm going back. What is his question? Okay. Oh, wow. His question was, you know that you're right, that in the tank, if a week and a half you can't go out, you understand that it's not the best smelly place. There's no bathroom, a normal bathroom in a tank. I don't know if someone of you went to a tank. There's no bathroom at all in a tank, yes? Maybe some people think that. Nothing there. And you are closed there, four soldiers, for 3 days. Not for 3 days, for a week and a half, with no bathroom. It's very, 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 very not simple. And it's not smelly. It smells good. He asks, may he pray there? First of all, to understand, a soldier that came now for the war, and this is what bothers him. You know that 2 weeks after the war, a rabbi from the States came to Israel and he wanted to sit with me. And he told me, please tell me questions that you were asked in the wartime. So I told him these questions. So he told me, I can't understand. What's the problem? I told him, what do you mean? He said, he doesn't need to pray. He's patu. He's oines. He doesn't need to pray. I told him, I got dozens, thousands of questions from all soldiers in all those years. Never a soldier phoned me and asked me not to pray. They want to pray. They want to have the ability to pray. They want to pray, not to be patu, tell them you don't need to pray, it's not what they want. So I told this soldier, this is a sugiya in Brachot of Kafei. The Gemara speaks there that when you are in a place where you have something stinks, so there are two problems. First of all, that it's there. Second, that also if it would be in another place, if you smell it, it's also a problem. But if it's there, also if you don't smell it, it's a problem. I told the soldier, and I won't belong in it, in this thing, the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Tzadik Zayin said something that's very important. I asked the soldier, tell me, where do you, when you do all those things in toilet, where do you put it? He said, we put it in closed boxes. I said, Baruch Hashem, closed box, because the Be'ur Halacha, the Mishneh Berurah, in Siman Tzadik Zayin, Seif Gimel, says that if it's in a closed box, it's considered as if it's in another place. But still, it's not enough. It smells. Shelo to Tshuvos Tzitzeli Ezer says that if it's in other reishus, you can put spray of bathroom. And if it smells good now, because it's in another place, it smells good, it's okay. I told him, you take now a spray from here. And before Shmone Esre, do. Now you have 5 minutes, say Shmone Esre. After 5 minutes, do it again. If you would see his smile, I was happy that he goes to war now, but he can pray. Yes.
Why is one box
Okay. In this case, the Gemara in Megillah speaks about Sifrei Kodesh, that they put them kiss betoch kiss. But it's not the same. The Biur Halacha says it's not the same, and because of this, it is Mishbure. But I understand. I can give you a shiur on this now, but it's not. But you can look at Biur Halacha, Or HaChaim, Sima Tzadik Zayin, Seif Gimel. There you get the answer. Okay. Yes? Okay, you may do it, but if I have better solutions, I'm trying to find better solutions. I had a lot of other questions from army soldiers all the time. I'm telling you just some of them. Another question that I'll tell you without dealing longly with it. A soldier, an officer, was wounded by the terrorists. And another soldier went in fire to save him. He was wounded also. Both of them were wounded, but they didn't die. They slept one next to the other in the hospital. And the other soldiers in this unit asked me if next time Chas v'Chalila something like this happens, if they need to go after a soldier when he knows that you are also under fire. Now, this is something that I could deal a long time. I won't do it, but I just tell you shortly. Normally, we have a klal, a rule, that you don't need to risk yourself to save another one. Maybe a little, but not like this. Chayecha kodmin lechayecha vercha. But Rav Kook, in Shut Mishpat Kohen, Siman Kuf Lamed Gimel, says that war is different. War is different, and war, everyone should try to save the other one, also if we are in danger. I won't come in now to explain all the rules and all the things, but I'm just telling you about this thing. When I gave the speech to those soldiers in the evening, non-religious soldiers stopped me in the middle and started singing, "Anachnu maminim bnei maminim, ve'en lanu al mi liyishen ela al avinu shebashamayim." We have no one else to trust, just on Kodesh Baruch Hu, just on God. Non-religious soldiers in the army, and when I gave them the gloves, and they came to me, non-religious, told me, "Rabbi, can you give me a tzitzis? Tzitzit." I told them, "I have no tzitzis. I brought you gloves. I brought you thermoshirts." They said, "We want tzitzis to fill non-religious soldiers." Someone there made with his camera also a minute and 2 minutes how the soldiers, before the battle, when we give them all those things, and they sing in the middle, "Anachnu maminim bnei maminim," and I'll show it now to you. exciting, no? It's something, it's unbelievable. Like, wow, I for me, although I saw it and I was there, it's every time to remember again, the war finished on Monday. When the war finished, I said, okay, now I can go back to my students at Yeshiva, the Haaretz Zion Yeshiva, Migdal Oz. I can go to my meetings. I had a bat mitzvah the same day. 4 o'clock afternoon, I get a telephone from Chevre soldiers in Palsar Tzanchanim. Notice Tzanchanim. Parachuters. They told me, Rabbi, tonight, for the end of the war, we are doing alaesh. You know what is alaesh? Barbecue. Rabbi, we want you to come and be with us. I thought to myself, wow, I have so many things. How can I go? Where are you? He said, we are in Mishmar HaNegev. Ooh, Negev, I'm Gush Etzion. Hours of journey. But I thought to myself, soldiers, a lot of non-religious soldiers want me to come, so I won't go. I canceled everything. Canceled the meetings, canceled the bat mitzvah. It continues without me. And I went to be with the soldiers. I went there. They hugged me and they told me, Rabbi, we, some of them told me, we are not religious, but we felt all the time in the war that God was with us. Kodesh Baruch, it's unbelievable. All Gaza was full with mines. You know how dangerous are mines? In Ramat HaGolan, there are mines from years ago, of Syrian. There's a sign there, be careful of mines. Don't go over. Someone that I know saw this sign and said, oh, it's years ago, he went there. And he lost 2 legs. Mines, it's terrible. All Gaza was full with mines. It's unbelievable. And almost none of our soldiers were hurt from it. It's unbelievable. They came out, they told me, Rabbi, we feel Kodesh Baruch Hu. Then I told them, you know, also in Chazal, in the Gemore, also in the Maharal, also in Rav Kook, we know that the redemption that we are now inside is different than Egypt the redemption. Because in Egypt, all the miracles were out of nature. Now, Kodesh Baruch Hu appears in nature. And according to Chazal and Rav Kook, this is the highest level that Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't need to break nature to appear. He appears in nature. But the problem is that someone who doesn't look can say, oh, this happened by chance. This happened, I did it alone. When Kodesh Baruch Hu appears in nature, it's the highest level, but we have to feel all the time. Kodesh Baruch Hu loves us. Kodesh Baruch Hu with us. Kodesh Baruch Hu makes us a miracle. And this war was an amazing thing to feel it. And I want to end with 3 minutes. I believe that everyone, also normal person, also doctors, also other doesn't matter what, also rabbis, should be all the time also in what they do and also in chesed, also in helping people. I'm learning Torah, I'm writing books, but I believe all the time you have to feel Am Yisrael. So the soldiers is one issue. But another issue that 5 years ago I started, when the former residents of Gush Katif left Gush Katif, they found themselves jobless, with no jobs. No one took care of them. And I saw that no one's taking care of them. I asked my rabbis of Gush Katif to go to the hotels to see what's going around, but I went and I saw that they have no work. This is worst of all. Then I started Job Katif to help them to become back on their own 2 feet. They were working people, almost all of them. And then I collected 150 volunteers from all over the country and professional people and helped them to get job offers. Then I saw it's not enough. A lot of them had to change the profession. They were farmers, agriculture, security. So I went to the States and collected funds and also in Israel to help them to have training courses, to change the profession. Then I saw it's not enough. A lot of them are over 40, 50, 45. The market doesn't want them anymore. And those people who are helping them sometimes to open a new business. And also this, it's a lot of money. It's very, very difficult. Baruch Hashem, till today we opened 180 businesses, and we put in jobs 1,600 people. 1,600 אנשים. There are still 1,000 people that are unemployed, or unemployed at all, or very minimum that they can't keep their family. A year ago, the government of Israel checked what we are doing, and they was amazed. Was Va'adat Chakira Mamlachtit, was investigation committee of the government, and they said Job Katif did everything that the government failed in, and they decided they never match an organization, a private organization. They decided to match us. Everything we raise, they'll give the same. A month and a half ago, I went to the government. I told them, look, it's not enough. We have another 1,000 people. It's millions and millions of dollars. We can't do every year millions of dollars till we bring them back. I want you to match us 1 to 3. They said, 1 to 3? Never we do something like this. I asked them to check it to go. 2 weeks ago, it was in the Knesset, in the government, and they agreed. And it means that today, if we collect for 4,000 for a training course, so we help 4 people, because the government gives another 3 times. And if we help for 5 people, it's for 20 people. And if we open a business for $24,000, it's opening 4 businesses. So Baruch Hashem, it's amazing. I want to show you 2 minutes, 3 minutes about this. When you see this movie, if they speak about me, it's not me. It's all the volunteers of Job Katif. They took me as example. But also this, and also in the end, you'll see that Shimon Peres, that was, he made this engagement. He, 2 years ago, checked and said, wow, Job Katif made what we should have done. And because of this, he gave us the President Award voluntarily. So 2 minutes, we'll see this. And in this, we'll finish. I'll give you... the light, if you can turn off. This is Gush Katif in the beginning.
Personal.
Baruch Hashem, it's much better, as I told you before. 1600 today. On the light. As I told you before, Baruch Hashem, I mean 1600 people to put back on feet. I know those families. It's unbelievable how to bring people back to life. They were working people. Gush Katif people, not just were working people. They gave the car everywhere. They were amazing people. But unfortunately, another 1,000 people unemployed, and it's terrible. Marriage are breaking. Children are damaged terribly, and those people that all their life sacrificed for Am Yisrael, and today are in this position. So, Be'ezrat Hashem, I hope that together we can help them. You have special booklets over the Vei album, nice booklets, and in the last page, you have the way how to help them to donate through the UJC, UJA, or Mizrahi, but there you have the all the details in the end of the booklet. And if someone wants to help Gush Katif, so I have few of those here. We don't sell them now, but if someone wants, so also I'll give them this venture, this Zmiron with him. It's not simple. We have a lot of work to do, but Be'ezrat Hashem, Be'siyata Dishmaya, together we can help the rest of the people. And also now, not just here, if you have other thoughts, we know today, that till today we need millions of dollars every year. Now, because of the matching, we know we need a lot of money, but not so much. We need $800,000 for 4 years, each year, this amount. So if someone here has an idea, every penny is important, but if you have also an idea afterwards of how to continue helping those amazing people, so we'll be very happy. Shetiyeh Birkat Hashem Alechem, that you succeed in all what we are doing.